You're listening to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 AM K108.
Good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Another beautiful day. Got a much needed rain falling out there, and so that means come summertime we'll have some nice muggy weather and flowers to look at and all of the good stuff. Replenishment. Anyway, thank you for joining me. The number here is 524-1080. A lot of you, I've seen you out on the street here, and we've been talking, and you express some concerns, sometimes you like to call in. So as I try to encourage all of you, do call in. This is what the show is about. If you got something you'd like to share with others or just express your frustration, please call in 524-1080, or you can also go to the website at carolcox.com, C-A-R-R-O-L-L COX.com. And this morning I have Pamela Davis. She's been with me a couple of times here talking about various issues, and she's with Animal Advocate, Inc., and we're going to be talking about various things, vexatious requesters, different bills that are out there that will make a toe curl, actually, if you really knew what was going on. And so what I'm going to do is ask Pam, good morning, Pam, and if you would, introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit quickly about your background.
Thank you, Carol. Thank you for having me on your show. Basically, I have been a city and county of Honolulu employee for the past 22 years. I was fortunate enough to be able to retire as of February the 1st, and so now I can devote myself full-time to my organization, Animal Advocate, Inc., but I did have 22 years in the city's Department of Planning and Permitting, all in the same department, that was quite something to have experienced.
Yeah, and all of the permits and building and all of the shenanigans going on there. So I've been asking Pam, if she would, as time comes along, share with us some of the shenanigans that go on in there. And she's volunteered to do that as we in the coming future, the near future. So anyway, thank you. And we talked earlier about many of things, and like you, I'm like you, I'm frustrated with what's going on. A lot of the people out there are frustrated, and I don't know where really to start, to be honest with you. There's so many things, and it's almost insulting what is occurring in government. And we sit around talking, and I'm always concerned not to sound paranoid and think that there's someone putting bugs under my carpet and doors. If it happens, it happens. But I don't like to create an air of suspicion and paranoia, because that translates others will adopt that, and then we have a paranoid society.
Yeah, I don't think, from what I've seen and heard of you, Carol, I don't believe that you deal in paranoia. I think you deal in facts.
Yeah. I, you know, let's take one of the things. A lot of the legislators here, they're just absolutely self-serving and out of touch. And you and I have recently been experiencing that. We knew that for a while, but they're out of touch. They're actually self-serving. They're either serving the party, not the people. And that's to apply for the Democratic Party. In this case, the most glaring example of abuse and disrespect to the people is the Democratic Party, because they've been in power here. They are in power here. And they do things that the other side, let's say, as they describe it, the Republicans, they're not in office to do it. I'm sure because we've become a partisan nation, we don't speak truth anymore, what's right and wrong. We're about party line. And I'm sure they would do it too, and they are doing it. But here with the Democrats, we got resolutions, for example, vexatious requesters. Can you talk to that a bit? What this vexatious requester, and I'll describe it to some of you out there, that it's a bill that would basically prohibit you. It's designed to prohibit the public from knowing what their government is doing, right down to the basic. Even if it was putting asphalt in a pothole, if you were to be deemed a vexatious requester, then you can be denied records for 2 years and not be able to. So can you, you've had some experience, and I'd like to share with the public what it is, why this bill is, not because we think that it is, but some of the information and experience we've received. And we were never consulted, and we are out there, and some of these senators, Senator Espero, Willie Espero, and Kalani English, and Michelle Kadani, of all people. This is Michelle Kadani, who stood up right and claimed she was getting at Reen Munch Show, and she's behind the exposing Reen Munch Show for that debacle. But in turn, she is just as sheepish as she claimed, Remunchuas. I've gone to her office. She won't return my calls. She won't respond to my calls on many issues. And I'm her constituent out of Mililani. So what have you experienced?
Well, I had a bad experience with Senator Kadani's office as well. I called just a few days ago. I called to express the concerns of my organization regarding this SB 2937, the so-called vexatious requester bill. And I, of course, you cannot speak with Senator Kadani. That's a no-no. So I did speak with someone named Park from her office, and I was proceeding to explain my concerns about this bill, and I was hung up on. Yeah, she actually hung up on me. So I called back and told her that I really didn't appreciate being hung up on in order to just express my concerns as a taxpaying citizen of the state of Hawaii. And then I followed that up with an email to Senator Kadani expressing my concerns about both the bill and the way I was treated by her staff. And, you know, I received absolutely no response.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I'm going to start putting together a list, and Michelle Kadani is going to be on the top, because when she was trying to make all of this hoo-hoo, with Reen Muncho, she didn't have a hard time calling me and asking questions and what have you. And once they get in this party climate, they forget who they're working for. They
yes.
become serving the party and the so-called leaders of the party.
And right? themselves.
And themselves. And, you know, she had a problem with the neighborhood board. She was working there for, and once she became senator, right? So this is out there in Mililani. So folks in Mililani, you have a person that is now representing us that won't talk to, I'm a constituent, she won't talk to me, and they hang up on Pam Davis. And she then introduces a bill to bar anyone or be able to label someone as vexatious. That's un-American.
It is, and it's very arbitrary and capricious. They don't need to really do much in the way of proving. They just say, oh, well, you know, she's asked before for records, and therefore she's bothering us.
Mm-hmm.
She's a vexatious requester. Let's not give her access to any records for the next 2 years.
And you have no means as a citizen to challenge that unless you've got big and deep pockets.
Right. That's yeah. exactly right.
Now, so that people don't think we're shallow, and we're just mad at the fact that they're introducing this bill, let me explain some of the insights that causes me alarm. I often use the UIPA law, the Uniform Information Practices Act law, that actually allows the public. It's a law stating that you must give up this information, and here are the conditions, and here's, you can withhold some information. Now, frequently, I'll go to the Department of Health and file a request for solid waste or the situation up there in my Ili'ili'i stream with all of the cement dumped by the city. So I file a request, and I'm told there's no documents. No one knows about it. Well, then I go and file with another agency because I believe in checks and balances. So I figure if they're lying to me, I'll go to the other agency that share that responsibility, and lo and behold, I will then find, and in this case, I found that there were, in fact, documents that spoke to this, right? But then I return back to the agency and say, well, you lied to me. You withheld these documents unlawfully. I know that you were there on various sites inspecting, and you wrote letters telling the city that they were in violation, depending on the cases. And I go, oh, well, it must have been an oversight. So now I file a second request. So based on the definition of this bill, I then can become labeled as a vexatious requester. Because, not because I am annoying them or vexing them, but because they lied to me and were willing to withhold the documents.
Yes, and we've had the exact same situation. We've talked about it before. on the on your show, but with the Hawaiian Humane Society, we've had the the exact same situation where we have submitted formal requests for documents, and we know that these documents exist because we've obtained them from other agencies, mm-hmm. namely the Department of Customer Services in the city
mm-hmm.
and the State Department of Health, and we've been denied.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, you know, this happens all the time.
Mm-hmm. So they just outright lie. That's one. Two, you can go and make a request for the documents, and let's say I discover chemicals dumped, and I go to the state health department, and I ask them, do you have any reports on or any investigation occurring on this particular site regarding chemicals? And they would say, no, we've not heard anything about it. There's no violations that we've been reported. So then I will say, I'd like to look at the records. Well, we don't have any records. Then I would say to them, okay, I'd like to file a formal complaint and ask your agency to investigate this because chemicals in the waters, it's bad for the environment and it's illegal. So immediately they will then initiate, supposedly, an investigation, open an investigation on this matter. Then I would later ask them, give them 6 months, 7 months to resolve everything, and then I come back and ask them for the records to see what it was that they found and how it was addressed and all. They will then tell me, no, we can't disclose that because it's under investigation.
Yes, yes, we've experienced the same thing.
Yeah, so Kadani and Espero, and I call Will Espero's office to talk to him, and what is happening, folks, they are putting up buffers. Like most agencies have a public relations person, when some of these people lose their jobs in media, they go, you find a way to the government office and become the front door spokesperson. And Kadani is no different. Will Espero is no different. They hire these people to bring them in, and I don't know this young man. He answered the phone, and I began to tell him, well, I understand your problems, but, you know, the bill is on its way down the, you know. When, in fact, bills, until they are passed, and even if they are passed, you still can address them. So it's unfortunate that Will Espero is a Democrat. I don't expect a Democratic person, as they preach to us about the party, the Republican Party, taking away our rights, and they're the poor man's friend and the layman's friend and the Democrat. I don't expect a Democrat to come along and introduce such a bill. And the problem is, some of them say that it is about Obama's birth certificate.
Yes.
And that, and it relates to the numerous requests from out-of-state people asking for Obama's birth certificate.
Yes.
Well, then if they know who it is that's calling in, right, then they must be able to tell that person, look, you've made this request. But instead, a handful of people is going to call suffrage for millions.
Yes, and the whole purpose of the law is to promote government transparency.
Right.
We need that, obviously. I think anyone, we don't really need to explain to anyone why that's important, why that's
mm-hmm.
necessary. And to me, you know, to use Obama's birth certificate as a ploy, because mm-hmm. that is a very specific situation. That's not anything like the kinds of requests that are made by ordinary citizens about their government.
Right. And so here is Kalani English, Senator Kalani English from Maui. He, too, was part of this triad, or the triple E, or the three people, the three-prong approach to introducing this. What is he thinking? Is, you know, are we doing drugs again, or what's going on here?
I don't know. They must think that we're all asleep out here.
Yeah. So, you know, and so that leads me to this other thing that's occurring. You know, this recently, Mike Gabbard, a senator, let me back up. Even though they behave like children or enemies of this nation. We'll call them, we'll give them their just titles, justice. Senator Kalani English, Senator Michelle Kidani, Senator Willis Sparrow, and Senator Mike Gabbard. Now, Mr. Gabbard is a slightly different, but the funny thing is, Senator English is involved in here. And hold on one second, I got a call. Dave? Hello? Got a caller on?
Oh, hi.
Good morning, Dave. You got a
call? Yeah, listen, you're kind of an environmental expert, right?
Well, I don't know about an environment. We're human first, and then we dabble in environment. Well,
anyway, you probably know this, and I have a feud with a friend about who knows this. And you're familiar with the Hawaiian Electric and how they kind of work and everything. And do they how much palm oil do they use for their fuel, or do they use any? I mean, I heard there was a thing about that, and how much crude, you know, the regular fuel oil do they use?
I don't know, Dave, but this is what I what I can do. I'll make a note.
Yeah.
And you got email?
I don't have it.
Okay, no problem. What I'll do is I'll look, and your question is how much palm oil or oil, biodiesel or what specific?
Yeah. Well, I guess the palm. You know, supposedly we were going to get all this palm oil.
Okay.
But my friend thinks it's all run on palm oil. That is absolutely not true, right? I mean, most of it's still the fuel oil that they use, right?
Well, they do use fuel oil, but let me do some checking, and what I'll do, if it slips my mind, you call me back, and I'll do...
That would be wonderful. I was trying to...
I don't want to misinform you, and because I honestly haven't paid any attention to that subject. I don't want to misrepresent.
Yeah. Well, I'll call back next week, and I don't know.
Do that, and I'll toss that in, no matter what.
Yeah, he insists that we're all running on this palm oil. That did not be possible. I don't think they could even supply that much, you know. I mean, it's the refined crude that they use for the fuel oil.
And the question is, do they use 100% palm oil to... fuel there.
Yeah, what percentage do they use?
Okay,
do
they All right.
What percentage of the regular fuel oil do they use?
Okay, well, I will get to looking at that, and I'll try and get
you some answers. Oh, yeah, that'd be wonderful. I was trying to find out. The Hawaiian Electric doesn't seem to have that stuff very... they don't seem to know. I mean, I talked to a lot of people there, and they don't seem to...
Okay, well, what I'll do is ask him, I'll hurry up and ask him, and I'll ask him only one time, because if I ask him twice, they're going to label me as a vexatious requester, so I'll get it there. Okay,
anyway,
Dave. Okay, aloha.
Yeah, you have a good program.
All right,
thank you. Bye-bye.
All righty. Hey, I got a thing here. I wanted to... introduce, share with you folk what's going on. There's an event occurring while we're taking them off the path here. Got Kimberly Lowe, and she's going to tell us about the Mongo Earth Festival. Good morning, Kim. How are you?
Good morning. Very good, Carol. Thank you. How are you?
Good.
Just to give you a quick rundown, you know, you mentioned we're human first, and I like that as a segue into this, because this is Mongo Earth Festival. Ma is like a universal word for mother, and Go is representing the ancient origin of the earth. So this is Mother Earth Festival. The mayor has declared April 24th as Earth Human Day, Earth Citizen Day. And that's exactly what we're celebrating. You know, everyone has their different cultures. We come from many places, but we're all citizens of the earth. And this is going to be a festival with healing arts. We'll have Tai Chi, Korean drumming and dance. We'll have brain education for seniors and for children as well, things for all ages. And the idea is just if we're healthier citizens, healthier people, we get along better, we can take better care of the earth.
Mm-hmm. And this is going to occur where and when again?
This is at Hei'i'ia State Park in Kaneohe. It's right over there near the pier at Hei'i'ia.
Mm-hmm.
The address is 46465 Cam Highway. That's right past the, if you're going from Windward Mall and just going along Cam Highway,
mm-hmm.
before you get to the pier at Haia.
Okay.
Right there, Kealohe Point.
Okay. And they can call 596-9642 for any questions or...
That's right. That's a good number to call if you want more information about mm-hmm. it. We also have a website, which is www.magoearthfestival.org. It's all one word, magoearthfestival.org.
Okay, and again, April 24th and...
April 24th all day from 10 till about 5:30. We'll actually have a sunset... vision ceremony with giving hope to each other and hope for the earth.
Okay, well, thank you. And give us a call. Keep us updated on it in next week as well. So, again...
Thank you so much. Thanks for the opportunity.
You bet. Okay, thank you.
Aloha.
Aloha. Well, again, we were talking about it, and I appreciate Dave and people like that, because there are a lot of questions out there. But, and I'll look into it. What we were talking about is we're talking about, I began to talk about Mr. Gabbard, or Senator Gabbard.
Yes.
Now, we got to keep in mind that Senator Gabbard is a gentleman who is staunchly opposed to gay and lesbian rights and all of that, right? So when I say opposed, I think what I'd like to describe personally, my description, is that he's meddling. And borderline, I believe we should start when we look personally, when we introduce legislation such as these that interfere and impact people's lives and their private lives, it'd be considered a hate crime. Because you cannot, it is just the equal of standing out there and yelling obscenities at people that are of the homosexual or the gay or whomever. He has no right to do that. But anyway, he's now... the papers reveal that he is participating in a behind-the-scene program. In today's Focus, in the advertiser, he is saying measure twice and cut once. Well, folks, first of all, the history of this, as they describe it, is, again, Senator Kalani English observed this in working group and this technique somewhere, and then he, in turn, came and employed it here. Well, first of all, we don't know if it works where he observed it originally, but how did they arrive at a point where they, in turn, were able to select groups to go behind closed doors to introduce legislation, to prepare and process legislation that we will then eventually be served with so that we can, though, go around and rally around it or vote against it or what have you, give consideration. And it's all to, as he claimed, to cut corners or to cut out the process of the long process of environmental impact statements. Well, first of all, my background and knowledge of environmental impact statements, case in point, you see, Mufi Hanneman wanted to hurry up the environmental impact statement
for the rail. Yes,
he went out there and had Linda Lingle, you know, the senators. And that gang of people went out there and wrote letters to the governor saying, sign it, Linda, sign it, right? So is this the same environmental impact statement that Gabbard is claiming is so long and protracted, drawn out and protracted, right?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Is this the same EIS process where the mayor obviously didn't disclose many of things and it's incomplete, he only submitted a draft? Is this the same one that Gabbard needs to go behind? Is this going to be subjected to that process, too, where they lie to us, where the runway, it's disclosed in 2006, that there's going to be a conflict with the train, the rail placement, and the runways? Yet, sign it, Linda, sign it.
Yeah.
So is this one of those processes that Gabbard is going to go behind closed doors?
Who knows, huh?
Yeah. This is... You know, for a state that celebrates, we have more decorated soldiers and units, military units, here in this state than I know of any other state. And I mean, I'm sure there's others that outnumber us, possibly. But we have a large number, and we celebrate soldiers and their services to the nation, right?
Yes.
And we have soldiers abroad right now, National Guard people serving, multiple deployments. And yet we have Kadani, English, Gabbard, Espero sitting around taking legislation, authoring legislation to take our right for transparency, to dwindle it down, and then go behind closed doors with only people that they select.
Yes.
Something, and then the speaking of vexatious requesters, when you appeal it, it is the Office of Information Practices who will be rendering the decision. And what did they say? They didn't sound too alarmed about this practice that Gabbard was employing.
Correct.
So, what do we do?
Well, you just have to keep on them all the time.
Yeah, but keep on them. Do we vote for them? Or
no, I think, well, that's something that you've talked about on your show before. And, you know, just get rid of them all, basically.
Yeah.
Let's just start over. Not just some, every
yeah.
one of them.
Yeah.
It seems like to me, just as a citizen, that once people get in, it's no longer about representing your constituency. It's only about getting reelected and about, as you said, you know, doing whatever is wanted by the party.
Yeah. The party is steering us wrong. We've got furloughs. We got deficits. We have mismanagement. We have criminal behavior in government. And yet, they're standing there talking about making a law to keep you as a citizen. That's all that Sparrow and English and Kadani could come up with in response. Why don't they make a better law to make it easier for the people to gain access to seeing what their government do?
They should. That's what they should be doing.
So it's quite revealing that this so-called Democratic Party, the party of the people, maybe it's just, it is for the people of a certain ilk and a certain clique.
Yeah, well, you know, things get, after a while, after many, many years, things get set in their ways. Some people call it corruption.
Yeah, well, I think it is corrupt, well, in fact, I know it is, because when they don't respond to you, when you walk in, you can't get a simple phone call. And when you do call in, they hang up on you. And they don't respond, yet they tell you, we're for the people. They're corrupt in their thinking or they're corrupt in their actions. Either way, we don't benefit as
right.
people.
Right. Their words are hollow.
But another situation here is, we talked last week about the national park. Designating the DLNR as SHPTI as a high-risk agency because they've mismanaged. So, once again now, here come these Democrats, these people that have won our trust, that is squandering it, right? And here is what's happening. Sharon Haar, Ken Ito, State House Representatives, there is a bill that was asking for asking for an audit of the SHPD, the State Historic Preservation Foundation. Haar and Ito sat on that bill because it was in the Waterland Organization, administration, that committee. They sat on it. Wouldn't submit it. Now, the federal government has already designated the state as a high risk. And yet, from what they handle, the state also has concerns, but Sharon Haar and Ken Ito refused to submit the bill. I called Sharon Haar as well a month or more ago, and never even responded. And I wanted to ask, why don't she table this bill, have some hearing of this resolution? And it was the Water, Land, and Ocean Resources. Ken Ito is the chairperson. Now, the purpose of this was, the resolution was requesting, the original purpose was requesting the auditor to conduct a management audit of the State Historic Preservation Division of the Department of Land and Natural Resources. That was the original purpose of the resolution. And that was resolution HCR 50, HD1. So Haar wouldn't submit it. Ito wouldn't submit it. I've gone to Ito's office some 2.5 months now, and he refused to even call me back. It's as insulting as you can get. But it's okay. That's the nice thing about having this show. I will talk the truth, and may it fall where it falls. But here's an example. So instead of submitting for the audit, which is probably the most efficient thing in analyzing, what did they do? They changed the request of the resolution, and this is what they changed that language from an audit to changing the title to read, requesting a one-day summit for the healing and creation of positive change for the State Historic Preservation Division of the Department of Land and Natural Resources.
Spiritual healing, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. This is absolutely nonsense.
Well, it is, and especially when you consider that the State Historic Preservation Division is very, very important.
Yeah.
In the state of Hawaii, with our Hawaiian culture, our burial sites, all of these things are being neglected.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, and I understand that the state stands to lose a lot of money, too, as a result of the federal government saying that we're so inadequate.
Well, we really stand to lose the money, you know. I mean, that's somebody's value. What we stand to lose is a historical preservation element. Burial sites, historical sites, monuments, whatever. We lose our history. And these two people are sitting there playing games, sitting on a bill. And Sharon Haar worked for Maisie Hirono once before, and she was going to come in and blazing guns is going to this new Democrat, young, vibrant. What did she do? She hopped on the bus and started singing Kumbaya with the rest of them.
Yeah, a day of healing as opposed to an audit.
A day of healing.
Yeah.
No, let's have an audit, put them in jail, and while they're in jail, let them have some healing there.
Yeah.
Get them out of office. You know, none of this, you know, putting the cart before the horse. I believe in spiritual healing, but show me the money first. Tell me why we are in a deficit, why we are allowing burial sites to be broken up and disrespected and what have you. Tell me about that and how we arrived at that so we don't allow it to occur again. There's Carl Rhodes, Representative Carl Rhodes. He employs the director's daughter of Shifty. Did that have some influence on having a healing? You know.
Quite possibly.
So imagine, these are people that Gabbard is able to go behind closed doors, meet with Sierra Club and others. I mean, I wouldn't participate in the meeting, but how did they select those people?
Good question.
Kalani English comes up with Willa Sparrow and Michelle Kadani and puts up a vexatious request to Bill. When did they get together and meet and say, let's screw the people? When?
I don't know.
That's puzzling to me. I mean, and we pay them, so obviously it's on government time. Let's see how we can deprive and deny the people of their rights.
Well, I guess by requesting documents, we make it more difficult for them to hide what it is that they're doing.
Right.
So.
Well, you know, I want to be equally fair, and unfortunately I have only an hour this time, but I can always talk again, and you can go to carolcox.com and pull up the podcast. But I'm going to jump to another subject right quick, and that is city council member candidate, congressional candidate Charles DeJoux. Now, folks, last week Mr. DeJoux appeared on the Tina Quizon show, which follows mine, Global Entrepreneurs. And there was a discussion and some inaccuracies. So I call into the show, which I would never think of doing, but there were some inaccuracies and representations made by Mr. DeJoux. What I wanted to do, and I'll do it now, take this occasion, to set the record straight. I filed a complaint with the Ethics Commission, asking the Ethics Commission to investigate Mr. DeJoux for a trip that he took to Japan. It was a city trip. The funds were donated in total amount of $15,000 to the city and county of Honolulu so that they could tour three council members, Romy Cocholum, Ms. Ann Kobayashi, and Mr. DeJoux, would be going to, and a resolution was passed to accept the gift of $15,000. The gift declaration identified by IES Hawaii and Mr. Harumi, Danny Harumi, he in turn, Oshita is the last name, he in turn, someone penciled in $5,000 each. So Mr. DeJoux took his son, young son, juvenile son, on this official trip. My question was that someone had informed me that there were some problems with that, and all I did was made a simple inquiry there at the Ethics Commission and at the city. Mr. Chuck Tato told me, well, you know, we can't disclose anything because whether we have an investigation, had one or not, that's just, we don't do that, not allowed to do that. Well, through the tracking and finding the documents, found out that, yes, this was confirmed that he took his son. So my question was, did you pay, did Mr. DeJoux pay prior to leaving? Or did he reimburse after he returned because someone raised a concern about it? Now,
This trip was where now, Carol?
To Japan.
Oh, to Japan.
Now, an official trip. So I then wrote and wrote Mr. DeJoux some of the questions, asking him, when did he go? How did he pay for it? Did he pay prior to? And the concerns were that allegations were made that he only reimbursed after someone raised an issue. Now, to this date, he has refused to provide me with documentation showing that he traveled and he paid up front.
Paid up front for the son.
Right, for the son. Now, when you get there, how much money does the donor provide and buy you dinners, and what monies were incurred or what costs were incurred? Well, instead of responding, this is what he, Mr. DeJoux, decided to do. And this I love. You know, it speaks of this, you know, he's transparent. And in his commercials, he talk about exposing fraud and whatever unethical practices in the government.
Yes.
I'm still trying to figure who went to jail on his exposures. You know, how were they? But this gentleman wrote, Mr. DeJoux wrote me, and basically he said, well, I don't appreciate, I'm paraphrasing, I don't appreciate you making claims about my military background, and you said my pictures on the thing were illegal. Well, first of all, I'm not going to tell him what the law is, but the Army Inspector General, Lieutenant Colonel Edwards, told me that it was unlawful. And also, there's a reason you need to put a disclaimer that the photographs and the military is not condoning or endorsing you, right?
As a candidate.
Okay. Well, instead of just responding that way, no, he responded, he being Mr. DeJoux, responded by telling me that he has referred, I have copied Mr. Chuck Tato of the City Ethics Commission on this mail to alert his office, right? I understand that I am a public official, but if you try to distort or misrepresent my record as you try to do with my military uniform, I am prepared to vigorously defend my reputation, and therefore am also copying my attorney on this email. Man, I was shaking in my boots.
I'm sure.
I'm telling you, I didn't know if I had the flu or just nervous or he had just scared me. But keep in mind now, this all stems from me simply asking him, Mr. Transparency, Mr. I Expose Ethical Violations, Charles DeJoux, running for congressional office. You got to call your attorney when the documents are there and you're Mr. Transparent. You've been, every time the TV come on, the channels show a story about something, here's DeJoux with a napkin crying about the woes of the state, the city, and the nation, and what others are doing.
Yeah, it does seem like an overreaction when you're merely requesting that he provide you with some documents.
Yeah, and so what do they do? Chuck Tato writes me back and says that he looked at the records and it appears that Mr. DeJew paid, everything was on the up and up. Now, I asked the Ethics Commission to investigate. And you write me back as an investigator saying it appears?
Yeah, I think that it should be clear. It's either it is or it isn't. It's
yeah.
not that it appears. It, I mean, there are, there should be statements or records or documents of some kind to prove it one way or the other.
Yeah, to say that he in turn did it legally. But Tato, then the funny part about it, rarely is Tato able to get right back on an investigation. But boy, on this one, he did. Oh, man, so that DeJew could have that to wave and say that it was all clear and clean, but it's, it didn't. He couldn't say conclusively. He says that it appears to be. So as a result of that, I file a complaint asking Tato to forward it to the Ethics Commission for review. So it is not true, as DeJew claimed, that this matter has been resolved. I have filed a request to the Ethics Commission to review the decision and how Mr. Tato handled it. You follow? So, again, I'm looking at some of the cost of this thing that Mr. Tam, Rod Tam, was involved in, caught up. They claim that he misspent the allegations and what have you. Now, Tato seemed to be, I spoke to Tato when I was talking to him about DeJew. He was gloating over this, and I felt that it was rather strange.
He was gloating over the Rod Tam
yes.
situation?
Yes. And I'm thinking, well, I'm hoping you should have the same feeling about and commitment about my query of DeJew as you have with Tam. And being having an investigative background, I felt that his comments were not proper. And then when I see that he hurriedly rushed through this letter to me to say that it appears that DeJew is rather suspect. But then with what I found also with Rod Tam's matter, and I'm still trying to figure out how this happened, the Hawaii Reporter ran a story, and I'm told... And I have documents that say that Mr. Tam didn't know anything about that. Right? Hadn't been notified yet in full to let him. But the Hawaii Reporter had an article on it, and they cite Mr. Tato as the source of the story that's saying that Rod Tam is being... City Ethics Commission reveals details about investigation into city member Rod Tam.
Oh, I thought they weren't allowed to reveal any details of investigation.
Well, that's what he told me when I go in his office each occasion. Well, you know, we can't confirm, yay or nay, that we have an investigation. Our rules prohibit it. So I am actually going to be filing, and Mr. Tato has been on my show, but again, you know, friends are friends, but government is government. It's, you know, it collectively, it represents us all. You can't be favoring one party or one individual because you like him and trying to cut the feet from the other guy. You can't do it.
Exactly. I mean, these protections are for all of us. They're not for some of us.
Yeah. So, you know, the problem I have with this particular issue is that I was also looking at some of the expenditures that the city councilman, you can go online and get it. But, for example, here's one, 2009, there's more, a couple of entries, but lunch with the American Society of International Law. The amount there was $13. This is submitted by Charles DeJew. Why would he need to be charging the city for meeting with, he is an attorney, why would he be charging the city for lunch with the American Society of International Law?
In his capacity as a city council.
Right, and there's a repeated charges now at different other periods.
Yeah, I don't know.
Mr. Transparent. But, you know, when you call up and write me and threaten me that you're going to have your lawyer involved because I ask you a question and you've been championing the cause for transparency and ethics and you're a pillar of the community.
Right, and pointing the finger, I guess,
yeah.
at Rod Tam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And others. So he is going to ride on the skirt tail, and I'm hoping that the... voters out there, don't be fooled. This guy is, this is a national effort with the Republican Party to try and get this guy in because they know that winner takes all. So people, don't be fooled. Ask the Jew, what has he done? I mean, he's been there 8 years or 10 years.
Right, I'm not
and
sure.
We're in a spiral financially. What has he done? Let's send him home to his house, not our house. You see, until he can come up with some better answers. And I'll be listening. And I did invite him to the show, folks, and he tried to out-talk me. But anyway, again, and real quickly, and we're going to close. Mr. Kurt Caldwell sent an email out saying he's going to go for mayor.
Oh, that's interesting.
Now, he's going to be acting mayor when Hanneman stepped down, clearly, if we follow this. The place is going to be vacated, the mayor position. Hanneman is, I guess, going to go for governor. So, Caldwell has no experience. He's going to be acting mayor and take it up when Hanneman steps out. He's going to become the mayor. Then Caldwell is going to be running for mayor. That's why maybe we're in a problem financially. Nobody wants to finish their work that they promised us to do. So let's vote them all out.
Right. I think so. I think that's just about where we have to start.
Yeah. And we don't need a rescue party. I think all folks you got to do out there is just look at these situations and just ask yourself, do we need them? I don't think we need them. I think we can do bad alone by ourselves. We don't need their help to do bad. Anyway, thank you, Pam, for joining me.
Thank you for having me, Carol.
And I'll talk to you next week. Aloha.
And tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show on K108.